Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview of Chelsea versus Aston Villa in the FA Cup. Some more cup action after securing our place in Wembley this week. It was lovely. Obviously, a fantastic night on Tuesday. Winning 6-1, I managed to get a ticket last minute because I originally wasn't going to go. But there I was and I saw Chelsea score 6 goals for the first time in years. I don't know what Tom was doing for it. Were you watching it on telly, mate?
I was indeed, yes. It was a weird one. It was a weird game because it's 6-1, obviously, but they were so bad. But we'll get into that in a sec about just how bad they were and how good we were, because I do think that's slightly a catfish scoreline, but we'll discuss that later. Either way, let's not be negative in the introduction. It was a fun evening after what I thought might be a bit of a high pressure game. It was fun to get that win, get one spot in Wembley. Moving into the FA Cup, let's see if we can try and get another one.
Oh, definitely, that's exactly what we want. And Chelsea on a bit of a run of form now, which is quite nice, especially at home. Obviously, we'll touch on that later in Stat Shaggers and various other things. But yeah, fantastic. Another trip to Wembley. It's not like I do that every day when I finish work, but you know, here's what it is. It's an easy commute for me. Round the corner, bosh, sorted. And we've actually already been having a chat with Jordan because we are potentially going to be doing some fun things around that, i.e. at some point over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to do some content where we have to go to the pub and it's really, really difficult. Like, you have to do that and it's just something where, you know, it's like, yeah, it's just a bit of a slog, isn't it? Like, having to go to the pub to make content, like, don't know who'd want to do that. But, you know, it is what it is. But we will move swiftly on. Villa, Friday night. Under the lights, Stamford Bridge, FA Cup. Let's get it, baby. Let's have it. Let's get into Act 1 and let's get into the fun part. And before we go into Villa itself, we've got to talk about Borough. And let's be honest, Tom's just made a very interesting comment there. A little bit of a bombshell. So it was a bit of a catfish game.
Boom.
Discuss.
Yeah, well, yes. The reason I say that is not necessarily because we actually could have scored more, let's be honest. The reason I say that is due to the nature of, I would say, certainly 3 of the goals, possibly even more, in that they just handed them to us. And also, I think once they'd gone 2, potentially 3-0 down, they sort of gave up, really. So it did become easier. That's all I'm saying in terms of catfish result. I'm not saying we didn't deserve it. I'm not saying that it flattered us, which is maybe what you thought I meant when I said that. I'm just saying that 6-1...
I did. I panicked.
6-1, you think... And to be fair, we did absolutely dominate them, but I think it just doesn't quite tell us. You need to see the highlights to understand that game, I think, in that they have... Well, I mean, there's an own goal. They've given away 2 goals, the De Sassi one and the Palmer one. They essentially were trying to be too clever. They did exactly what I didn't think they were going to do, which was just be really compact and just try and make it frustrating for us. They tried to play out the back, and we just pressed them and did exactly what I said we should do and be really intense and push and push. And... in the end, yeah, we absolutely hammered them. Couldn't, you know, booked our slot at Wembley, you know, before half time. Meant we could bring some players off early, a couple of debuts in the second half, or a debut in the second half, you know, return of Carney to the team, Chilwell getting 60 and then coming. It was basically the perfect night for Mauricio Pochettino, for Chelsea, for fans at home like me and at the game like you. And, you know, the Borough fans, even they got their little moment to celebrate at the end when they scored after what must have been the absolute worst nightmare coming all the way down to London for that. But
Did you see the geezer who did the little Cole Palmer celebration?
Yeah.
I looked at him and was like, yeah, fair play, mate.
But yeah. I didn't mean that it flattered us. I just meant in terms of how we won that game, it was 50-50 on mistakes from them and actually us being brilliant, as in we made them make the mistakes, but they definitely didn't help themselves. I worded that terribly, but that's what I meant.
That's fair enough. Well, yeah, that's you know, we've may or may not have slightly talk-sported that by giving people something when they're like, oh my God, what did you mean by that? And then we did it and didn't mean it, unlike the other aforementioned outlet who just love to wind people up. Saw a really interesting one today. I was with an Arsenal fan earlier and he lost his rag at his phone because... TalkSport gone, we think that Darwin Nunez could be Liverpool's answer to Thierry Henry, and he lost his rag. So I was like, okay, you do realise exactly what's happened there, but you know, it is what it is. We move swiftly on. And I mean, look, I was happy we got the result. after the end of the first half, I was like, okay, it's more relief. I didn't celebrate a goal until the sixth one went in. I kind of just nodded, arms crossed. I was like, okay, right, let's get another. And I think the big thing for me, credit to the side, I think if it was any other Chelsea team over the past few years, and I appreciate you've got to contextualise the situation. So this was a Middlesbrough side which was lower half of the Championship and actually showed it last night. The Chelsea team kept going. I think when it hit 3 or 4 nil at half time, other sides went, okay, cool, job done, we'll take our foot off the gas. This lot didn't. You know, they showed a lot of hunger, a lot of desire to keep going. And, you know, it was really exciting to watch. So credit to where it's due. Chelsea played absolutely fantastic. And hopefully we can carry this in to the game against Aston Villa. But let's get straight into it. Ladies and gentlemen, Act 2, the game itself. It's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, that's right, guys. It's Stat Shaggers. Welcome back to everyone's favourite segment of everyone's favourite podcast, Stat Shaggers. Now, of course, Aston Villa, how did they get here? That's a key question everyone wants to know, the history of their run. Well, they only played one game, obviously, because we're in the fourth round. How did they get here? They beat Middlesbrough, the team we just played, of course. 1-0 at the Riverside. Matty Cash scoring in the 87th minute. The history of the fixture. Now, Chelsea have played Aston Villa a lot of times, 163 times to be precise, winning 68 of them. Aston Villa have won 60, and the two sides have drawn 35 times. But in the more recent history, since 2010, the sides have met 25 times, Villa winning 5 of them. But that does not... that does include the last two meetings, Villa winning both of them. A 2-0 win in April of last season and 1-0 in September of this year, with Ollie Watkins on the score sheet in both. Since 2010, though, in that sort of time frame of, 14 years now, Chelsea have had some serious fun at times. Frank Lampard scored 4 in a 7-1 win back in March 2010, and the Blues also won 8-0 in December 2012 with 8 different goal scorers. So a lot of fun and a lot of sort of, well, more recently, difficulties for Chelsea against Aston Villa. But to go back to FA Cup ties between the two clubs, you'd have to go back to April 2010, when Chelsea beat Aston Villa 3-0 at Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final. Goals there coming from Florent Malouda, Lampard himself again, and Didier Drogba. And do you want to go really far back? Well, okay, I'll take you there anyway. The last time Aston Villa beat Chelsea in the FA Cup, the 30th of January 1960, when Bobby Thompson scored the winner in a 2-1 success for the Villains in the fourth round of the FA Cup that year. Now, in more recent form, I'm sure you'll know Aston Villa have been exceptional this season, and after 21 Premier League games, they sit fourth in the league. Only Tottenham, Manchester City and Liverpool have more goals than them, and they've conceded the fifth fewest too. So they are a properly good side this year under Unai Emery. Some good signings in the summer have bolstered up what was already a pretty talented squad. They had a slightly up and down Christmas period. Initially excellent wins over Manchester City and Arsenal, and then a win over Brentford too, but then a draw to Sheffield United, a loss when they were originally 2-0 up at Old Trafford, and a narrow 3-2 win over 10-man Burnley, showing that, you know, sometimes they can kind of fall off a little bit, but still in a very good position. Obviously, 2024, only played 2 games, a 1-0 win, as I said, over Middlesbrough, and a 0-0 draw the other day in a dry game against Everton. So they may well be fresher than us after we've played quite a few more games. But hopefully we can continue our excellent run at home this season. And when I say us, I mean Chelsea, of course. So let's get back to them. Back to you in the studio, Louis.
Thanks, Tom, for that fantastic episode of Stat Shaggers. I love saying that. I've actually fitted it into my vocabulary. Because my dad's shaggers. Obviously... We actually were saying, me, Gary, Dad and Kerry were all walking back from the game, went to us court. And they're going into stats. And me and Gary are like, just because you lot are shagging stats. And we were like, oh my God, it's actually in the vocabulary now. It's fantastic. So we're going to get Tom a t-shirt or maybe a hat. Like, make stat shagging great again or something like that. But yeah, I mean, look, very interesting that. The 1960 one kind of caught me off because I thought, I was having a little think, right? And Villa in the FA Cup over the past few years, you know, there are sides which are just fairly poor and they go out early. Villa have always done all right in the FA Cup, in my memory anyway. You know, obviously they reached the final the year they got relegated. I remember when we did the double, we played them in the semis. You know, they usually make some decent progress. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, given the situation that they're in as well, it's going to be a game which I think is very nerve-wracking because they're going to want it as just as much as we do. And this is our first proper test in a long time because, you know, Mr. Good Evening has got them firing on all cylinders. Mm. So credit to him where it's due with that. And Monchi, by the way, who is actually the sporting director, which I only found out the other day. But he seems to be doing all right. But yeah, look, overall, I'm fairly happy with that. I'm intrigued. Hopefully we can do the business against Aston Villa. But enough of us talking about the stats and all that. That's boring. We don't want to talk about that anymore.
Hey, hey, hey.
I want to talk about the most important. See, that's your job. That's why you do it. I don't give a shit. Let's get straight into it and let's do the Echo 11. This is the only thing that matters in terms of statistics, all right? You get that tactical side right and the bottom line is you've got to get it in their net and not let it into ours. So, Tom, how are we going to do that?
Thank you very much for that, Michael Owen. Yes, well, I think we're obviously going to start with our good friend Jordi Petrovic in the back of the net. And okay, actually,
Petri-dish.
One thing I will say as we go into the defence about last night that really pleased me was, well, I suppose technically we didn't because of De Sessi, but playing an actual left-back at left-back.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Revolutionary. And he was brilliant as well. I know it's only Middlesbrough and they were terrible. Like, that's probably the worst team we've played this season. I think they're more Preston, which makes sense, but he was brilliant. And I think, yeah, so going on from that, I would start him at left-back, Ben Chilwell, that is. He came off at the 65th minute mark, so whether he can then play another game, 3 days later, is up to Pochettino and himself. Obviously, we don't want him to get injured again, but I'd like to think that he can get that in him, another 60-odd minutes or more, you know, whatever's required. Cole at left centre-back, shockingly, where he's excellent, was good. Shock. It's just incredible, this revolutionary stuff that, you know, playing players where they're previously very good is an idea, but there we go. So yeah, he stays there. Thiago Silva stays at right centre back. And I thought De Sessi was brilliant last night. I do question whether against Aston Villa, who are a team of a bit more pace and a lot more technical quality going forward, whether he's the one we want, but I don't know how bad the Malo Gusto knock is, and not sure. Well, I know for a fact that Pochettino is probably not going to trust Alfie Gilchrist there yet. So I'm going to assume that it will probably be the same back four.
Yeah, I was really surprised by Axel De Sessi pleasantly because he actually does have a turn of pace.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it going, where's that come from? Like, and also, he got a nosebleed. Like, how has he done that? So, no, he's shown he can do it.
Tidy finish.
And credit to him in his post-match interview where Sky may or may not have... Yeah. Slightly fucked up with who they put on there. When I say slightly, massively. So that's not great. You know, he was talking about how, you know, he just wants to do his best for the team and, you know, he just helped out where he could. And, you know, he's deputised well last night. So hopefully he can carry that on and carry that form into the fixture itself against Villa in the FA Cup. But I agree with that. The midfield, I think, is fairly self-explanatory as well. In fact, I'd have exactly the same midfield again. Obviously, he took off Moises Caicedo, I'm guessing, in a bid to sort of make sure he was prepared for the fixture on Friday. So I guess that you will be seeing Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez double pivot. Enzo actually dropped deeper as well, and we saw the quality there.
Yeah.
Oh, that was another thing which really, really caught me off guard in the Middlesbrough game was the fact that we actually... played players where we've gone, okay, they're actually probably better there. And ironically, they were. So, you know, it's kind of a case of you've got to see that double pivot in action. I think Cole Palmer in the number 10 position worked perfectly as well. It'll be really good to see him pressing down on that back line as well, because as much as Pau Torres and the defence has been pretty good, I do think that there is a mistake in him. I really do. I think Pau Torres has shown that a few times this season. So, you know, hopefully if we can pressure them like we pressured Middlesbrough going with our tails up, then that'd be good. It's more the front line, unless you want to contradict that and sort of say you want to have a different midfield.
No, I think exactly the same. I think Conor Gallagher obviously came on at the perfect time. He's so good at that. I think if Conor Gallagher is going to stay at Chelsea, that is the role he should have in games like that. Come on in the 65th minute when we're winning, and just then can you imagine, as we've said before, you're losing, I don't know what the score was when he came on, but I'm assuming it was 4-5-0, and you see Conor Gallagher come out, you just think, oh really, this guy, because he's just got endless energy, and that is a very useful extra thing to have. So I think that's what I'd do. I'd do exactly the same, like you said, Caicedo, Enzo, Palmer just controlling the game, him and Enzo kind of on strings, Caicedo sort of in transition from, you know, turning over the ball and getting it into Enzo's feet, basically. That's his role. And then Gallagher coming on in the 60th minute, whatever. Hopefully we're winning again and just shut that game out. So, yeah, I'd do exactly that in the midfield.
Okay, so we agree there. I guess the front line is where... we've got to talk about Mudryk, I think. I know you're not his biggest fan.
Whoa.
And what... You're not.
I like Mudryk.
You're not his biggest fan. You like him, but it's like... I think, yeah, it's, he probably won't start on Friday, rightfully so as well. But I kind of feel a bit sorry for him because as a young player there who genuinely just needs a bit more coaching on in game management and stretching play and doing what he's good at, and he needs to have a bit of confidence. And unfortunately, in the minutes he gets, he's just not showing enough right now. And I really like him. I think he's a really good player. He's really raw, and you can see that. But unfortunately, with the price tag he's got a lot of pressure, and I don't think he's dealing with it. So, I mean, I think he's the only change in that front line. I think I'd go with Breuer still, even though he was, again, fairly invisible. But I'd go with Sterling on the left and Nonno Madueke getting a deserved start on the right, unless you disagree.
No, I definitely agree on Nonno. I know Sterling was pretty good last night, but I'm still not convinced by him. And I just feel like in a game against Villa, it's the fact he's going to actually have to try to kind of get his own way. Realistically, it's a player of Sterling's calibre doesn't have to go 100% to get past Middlesbrough defence, no offence to Middlesbrough. And that's why he likes playing in those kind of games, because he can just sort of waltz around and get his own way. I still question his attitude, I question his drive, and I just think in a big game like that, would I rather play Mudryk, who is going to give his all? It's a bit like, you know, having Timo Werner in the side or Hakim Ziyech. You know, I think we can all agree, in terms of technical ability, Ziyech has more technical ability, but his attitude absolutely was terrible, which is why, you know, a lot of fans were a bit fed up with him at the end. Timo Werner, what he lacked in technical ability, he had in heart. So that's what I question over the Mudryk-Sterling debate. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest. I wouldn't be overly angry at either if either were starting. I think, yeah, maybe you're right in Sterling starts and Mudryk comes fresh off the bench. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Mudryk is improving, generally, as time goes on. He's had his moments. He's still inconsistent, but we've spoken about that on a few players. You know, the young lads and all that. They're going to be inconsistent. That's how it is. And on Breuer, yeah, I guess so, because there's no one else.
I think Mudryk was just so poor, though. So poor. And I'm just not sure he's the right man in this game. I do think, though, if you give him the right instructions against Matty Cash... Mm. You're not going to allow Matty Cash to get forward because you'll be worried about Mudryk getting in behind him. So there's that technical ability which he might be lacking in. He makes up for with physical ability of just being able to absolutely just burn people, which is what he did a few times in the game against Middlesbrough. Yeah. Should we do a game of rock, paper, scissors to decide this?
Yeah, go on then. I'm Mudryk, you're right. Sterling.
Okay, ready? Okay, ready?
Are we doing right. Rock, paper, doing scissors, shoot, or rock, paper, scissors, and go on three?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yeah. All right, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Again, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Fucking hell. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No, so Sterling starts.
Okay, you're Sterling, cool, all right, there you go, done.
By the third round of rock, paper, scissors. There you go.
That is actually, can you imagine if I say that's how they pick a team?
Sometimes I feel like it is.
Just do a game of rock, paper, scissors. We can decide someone's whole career here in the Champions League final. Rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, all right, go on in. Oh, dear.
And that's how Ryan Bertrand got his start in the Champions League final of 2012. He challenged Roberto Di Matteo to a rock, paper, scissors game. He said, if I win, not only do I play, but I'm playing at left mid. And Roberto Di Matteo, the self-proclaimed champion of rock, paper, scissors, thought, yeah, why not? And he lost. And that goes one of the great tales of Chelsea's recent history.
Oh my God, can you imagine? That's a joke, that. But yeah, but anyway, that's the Echo 11. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments, obviously, on all good podcast platforms, because you can leave those, and no one does. It makes us sad. Well, I've not even had anyone abuse us yet. I'm actually really disappointed about that.
It's because we're so good.
I know, but then I want someone to say how much they hate our guts. Oh. You know, like...
Well, you didn't take very well to someone giving us a negative review once, so... God forbid when the negative comments start coming in, how you're going
to
react.
I mean, we went down to 4.7. I was like, why are we a 4.7 rated podcast? What have we done to you? Tell us why. And you didn't. But it is what it is. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on and we'll get into Act 3, which is the analysis. Mm. We've done the stat shagging. Now we're going to do the tactico breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, talk about the inverted fullbacks on the wingers and the 7-3-3 fucking making up words as I talk bullshit. Trequartista, which is a real word. But yeah, is what it is. Anyway, into that analysis. We've got into the cup final for one tournament, which is massive, by the way. When we were panicking a couple of weeks ago, and this makes me sound incredibly flip-flop, and I think, to be fair, it probably is very flip-flop. I'm kind of there going, oh my God, what's going to happen here? We're in trouble. Even before the game yesterday, I was going, if he plays Chua left wing and Cole left back, I'm going to scream. But we actually made some correct decisions. We have gotten to a cup final. The signs of improvement. But now we've got to get ourselves into another game here and another round of the FA Cup on our way to potentially another final, touch wood. Mm. We got a taste for it, mate. Do you reckon the boys are ready for this one?
Oh, bloody hope so. I mean, you know, they sort of made us sweat a bit in what is essentially an 180-minute game. They decided to lose for an entire half of it, put in the worst performance of the season away, and then probably the most, well, probably Man City was the best and most exciting performance. So certainly one of the most exciting performances of the season last night, with goals coming from all over the field. Obviously Cole Palmer was again our best player, I think, but you know, people like De Sassi with a nice finish, you're like, where does that come from? So yeah, very exciting. Do we have I'd like to think these young players are going to be hungry anyway. But then when you start getting on these, like, oh, we're going to Wembley, and obviously they haven't done it yet. But you know, that felt nice, winning that game at Stamford Bridge and securing a spot at Wembley. Let's do that again, lads. And you know, Villa, as I've said, are a good team and they're relatively fresh because they didn't have a midweek game. They've only played two games in what, 24 days now of the month, so by the time we get there it'll be 26 days. They would have only played two games, so they'll be fresh. I'd like to think, you know, Friday night Stamford Bridge should be rocking, you know, two good teams going at each other. That's right, just called Chelsea good. I'm not getting carried away, but that's how I feel right now. I'd like to think these lads will be right up for it. I really would.
No, I think the same. I think what worries me is the fact that we have these really good performances and then we usually follow up these very good performances with very abject ones. So if Chelsea can get in the mindset where it's going to be less abject and we can be like, okay, we like that, let's follow up again, which I have more confidence in considering our record at home, then, you know, I hope we can do the business. I think another thing that goes in our favour is the fact that it is a very, very good side, and we seem to be doing very well against teams at the top this year. So, you know, does that suit us more, maybe?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on who we've, you know, the sides we've played, let's think about it, Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, Spurs, four games I can think of that we've done really well in, and probably should have won all of them. Obviously, did beat Spurs, we were 2-0 up against Arsenal. City was a real ding-dong game, and in the end, we, you know, thanks to Cole Palmer's penalty at the end, we got a deserved point in that one. And Liverpool, we came out of that first game of the season thinking, wow, we really should have won that, and all got kind of carried away before the 3-1 loss at West Ham the week after. But yeah, I think generally teams that play suit us more because we haven't quite yet got the sort of maturity in the team, I guess, to figure out how to regularly break down these low blocks. So again, you know, Unai Emery is a very interesting manager who knows what he's going to do, but he generally has Villa attacking, playing very good football to look at. So I assume that's what they'll do, in which case it probably will suit us, yes. But at the same time, they have some talented players going forward. Obviously, at the moment, Leon Bailey's in great form. Watkins has had a good season. And they've got other very talented players in the midfield. Matty Cash is, and Alex Moreno are very good fullbacks. So, you know, either way, however they play, it's going to be a tough game. But I think, assuming they attack, that, yeah, it should probably suit the way we play in this season.
Mm. No, I agree. I think that's definitely something to think about. Like I said, you mentioned Leon Bailey, Ollie Watkins. You know, there are some great players. And going forward, there is a lot about them. Defensively, they're resolute as well. It's an Unai Emery side. So, you know, got to be very careful with that and got to consider that. And but then again, like I said, home record. October 28th was the last time we lost at home. And hopefully, by the time we come round to this game, we'll be continuing that form, which will probably take, well, it would take us to, what, 2-3 months of just being unbeaten at home. So, you know, that says a lot about Chelsea and a lot about the quality at home. And obviously, last five games, we've picked up the most points in the Premier League as well. And I know this is an FA Cup fixture, but, you know, we are playing a Premier League side and it's a case where we can put our best foot forward. I mean, having said that as well, though, you know, if this game goes well, the way things are looking up, into a League Cup final, do you think that there will be significant pressure taken off of Pochettino from those within the fan base that maybe aren't as confident or assured in his ability and what we can expect from him?
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely think so. I think, obviously, after the Middlesbrough game, the away leg, we were all a bit like, oh, where is this going? And obviously, the kind of Jose spiralling out of Roma, and you saw, you know, fans did what Chelsea fans do and started looking at, you know, the nostalgic successful years under Jose Mourinho and thought round three, because we were fed up with it. We had last season, the hangover from that disastrous season. We're still not fully on board with Todd Boehly, which, you know, even though he spent £1 billion, we just don't really quite understand his vision. Poch has come in, had a pretty terrible start to the season, I think that's fair to say. But now we're looking at it and we comfortably beat them in the second leg, so got through that in the end unscathed, let's be honest. We're in the final now. We don't yet know, because we're recording this on the Wednesday, whether it's going to be against Fulham or Liverpool. We're, as you say, form team in the league. We're up to ninth in the league. We're only, I think, 4 points off sixth, so that's Europa League football, which, you know, we would have absolutely bitten your arm off for a month ago. So things are changing quickly. So I think, yeah, we win this, we're into the next round. Obviously, don't know who we're going to play, but doesn't really matter. Suddenly you're like, well, actually, you know, we're in a final of one cup. We're looking pretty good in another cup. We're looking up in the league suddenly. Like, this is pretty good for a team that is basically a brand new team under a brand new manager, under new ownership, who don't really know what they're doing. I guess it's that Chelsea DNA. You know, it doesn't matter what the scenario is, they just go and win stuff anyway.
Mm, that's good to see. But we'll have to see heading into this game. Hopefully we can pick up the result. And hopefully this time on Saturday, I will have my voice back, because I don't know if you can tell, but I lost my voice at the beginning of the week and it's only just about recovering. So, you know, hopefully on Saturday when we can have a chat and do bits and bobs and get ourselves ready for the next week, I'll be able to talk to you. But I'll have to see. But anyway, that's it for us, guys. That is your Chelsea versus Aston Villa preview here with the Chelsea Echo. So make sure you tune into all the other good stuff as well. Final score with the score straight off the final whistle. You guys have been absolutely fantastic on that recently. Obviously, the show you did with Simon, Transfer Special, 1,000 of you tuning to listen to that. After the game against Middlesbrough, we had 250 of you in there then, constantly growing, maybe building a little community, and we're very, very happy that you guys have chosen to listen to us and get involved with us. So please continue to do that, because there is so many more great things coming from the Chelsea Echo over 2024, including that giveaway we keep telling you about. We've been told to hold off on it, but just so you know, it's absolutely fantastic what we've got for you. So make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo. Make sure you turn on the notification bell so you know when all the podcasts are dropping on all good podcasts and platforms. Leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on the social. Follow Tom on his Twitter as well. He's finally started tweeting. He's taken his bloody time with it, but it's like a New Year's resolution. I'm very proud of him. Tom, what is your Twitter?
At TomMasters11.
There you go, because there's a lot of Tom Masters out there. He can't have what I've got, which is just at @Louis_Beneventi. Follow the score 01. Follow the Chelsea Echo. And we will see you guys later. Ta-da.